Like, that's the point in healing that I wish people get over. Like, your anxiety is not going to go away. Your fear is not going to go away. Your traumatic thinking patterns may not go away, and they won't for a long time. The trick is to just not listen to them, and not follow them, and not believe them. Everyone's in this cycle. I'm in the same cycle myself in many ways, but I'm just really trying not to pick up the phone.
Welcome to the Body Forward Podcast. I'm Kenzie Burke, your host. I am devoted to living a life that is full of transformation. Like a snake, shedding layers, coming back home to myself and remembering who I really am. Our bodies are full of wisdom, remembrance, liberation, and it is here on this podcast where I share my personal journey and conversations with my mentors, friends, and others who are aspirational and living a life full of transformation. Hi, Lucas.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to learn about you, hear your story, and yeah, just deep dive.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Would you introduce yourself in whatever way you feel called to do so?
Yeah, my name's Lucas Salome. I have the cliched name, also called the New Age Sage. I'm a podcaster, writer, content creator, spiritual being, trying to figure this weird game called life out. That's probably my main purpose, is figuring this shit out. Haven't come close, but I'm trying my best, like we all are. That's the best introduction I can give. Yeah.
Yeah. So what brought you to that point of trying to figure, like, were you always trying to figure it out?
No, I was asleep. I was an NPC. You know what that term means?
No.
It's basically in a video game. It's characters that are like pre-written. They have no internal awakening. They just follow a script that they've been told, like a simulation, like a robot. So I think most people are in that space. I was in that space. I just was given birth to, and I just lived like a cog in the machine. So I think that's most of our journey. Who wake, we were asleep, right? So I was asleep in my wounding, right? You download. I believe we live in a simulation, in some kind of divine simulation. So in my programming, I downloaded always my parents' programming, and then I was playing that through unconsciously. I had no idea. And that led me to many years of misery, pain, isolation, drug addiction. I was a drug addict. While I was at Ivy League college, I was a drug addict. And then the light found me, I guess. I think I got so low, I hit rock bottom. And once you're there, it's a beautiful place, because that's when the light can find you. Because when you realize my ego's taken me so far in life, like it's literally like I'm on a dead end. The ego's got me here. There's no other fucking way I can do this thing. And that's when the light can find you, because your ego is now, it's dead basically, which manifests as suicidal ideation, which your ego's just dying. And then the light can find you. So that's very summarized very briefly, but that's kind of my journey.
Yeah, I have two things. One, I really want you to speak more on the suicidal rock kind of bottom.
Yeah, of course.
Because that, I had that. I never thought I would be that kind of person to have those kind of thoughts or to be in that place. But yeah, that was when the biggest awakening for myself came in. It was like, yeah. It just seemed so meant to happen.
Yeah.
So I'd love to speak on that. But first, I just want to hear a little more about your childhood.
Yeah, of course. Childhood, I was severely, had health issues. So I had severe asthma and eczema. So I'd wake up middle of the night, like couldn't breathe, and then covered in blood. That was a fun little every night experiment. And then I had abandonment issues from both parents, which made me feel like I could never do, I could never be worthy of love as I am. So I had to do things to get it. Most of us, you know, same story for most of us, sadly. I was very sensitive. I was super intuitive and psychic as a kid, but I didn't know what to do with it. So I just kind of repressed it, and I repressed it throughout most of my life. And, you know,
what does that look like now?
My intuition.
Like you just felt things, you knew things.
Yeah. The typical, I think we all have it, but
yeah,
that probably
correlated too to the asthma and the.
Yeah, for sure. I'm super sensitive. I can kind of feel people pretty fast. If anyone has a certain issue that they don't know about, I can see it and find it pretty quickly. I can see the most annoying one is I can see someone's mask pretty fast. If someone's not being authentic, I know almost immediately. And that's a rude awakening, because almost 99% of people in the world are not authentic, which is sad, but you know, that's what I can see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so then speak a little bit about this rock bottom awakening. When was this?
Yeah, this was when I was 21. I was, you know, a super good student at an Ivy League college. I was going down the path that most of us would want in this matrix, you know, success in finance or some kind of consulting, whatever matrix, politicians, I don't know what it was, some mainstream thing. And it just wasn't me. And thank God I got addicted to drugs because it led me down a path where I couldn't do anymore. And then the rock bottom was I just didn't want to be here. I started taking pharmaceuticals. I got put on SSRIs, Adderall, Klonopin. You know how the thing goes. One thing doesn't work, and then you need another thing to make it side effects go away, and then just goes down and down.
From the beautiful system we live in as well.
Yeah, it's fucked. I mean, I'm also grateful I had that experience because it made me now motivated and have a desire to understand what actually healing is. So that was a good experience for me. It was painful in the moment, but I know why I was put through it. And yeah, it was just this rat race of pill after pill. And then just got to a point where I was like, I don't want to be here. Not to a point, I want to kill myself. Actually, like, it's just not the most jovial statement, but, you know, literal knife to my wrist. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I just want to die constantly, mm-hmm. weeks at a time, all that, like, my thought all the time. In that moment, it could seem like I want to die, like my life wants to die. But with perspective now, it's just that version of me had to die. That version of me who was doing these things and stuck in these patterns had to die.
Yeah.
And when people come to me with suicidal ideations or I've helped people in those situations, it sounds weird, but I say, this is the best place to be for you right now. And it sounds insane because that part of you that's got you here has to die. And you don't have to kill yourself, but that side of you has to die in some way for the moment being. You can.
Well, and isn't that life? I mean, it's the death, the rebirth, the death, the rebirth. It's the shedding of the old. And sometimes you have to be extreme to change.
No doubt. Yeah.
I mean, at least that's been my experience.
How's your experience? How have you been extreme?
It's just when it has to change, it is a full-blown death. Yeah. And I've really learned how to work with it because it's always been like that for me. And then I didn't really understand what was happening until it got to the point where I was having those morbid thoughts of like, I don't want to be here. What would happen if I didn't be here? You know, going to bed, like what happens if I stop breathing? Does it matter? Does the life mm-hmm. matter? Just all of those thoughts leading me to a big, deep spiritual awakening again. But this one was like really, really, really profound. Big shift, what led me to being here right now. Now understanding that I still have these cycles that come up and I still have these parts of me that need to die to get to the next level, to go to the next whatever, to call in more light or to call in what I'm wanting. So I'm learning how to work with that death and rebirth cycle versus it being like, I don't want to be here, you know, what the fuck is going on? To, all right, what are the parts of me that are no longer serving? Where do I need to... What do I need to do now? What do I have to let go of? And then what's the kind of discipline I need to take to... So instead of letting it be my identity, which it was before, of like, oh, I don't want to be here. Why don't I want to be here? This is scary. To, no, there's parts of me that want to go.
Yeah, it's a brutal process because, I mean, you're literally dying because you grieve.
Yeah.
If you lose a side of yourself or you're distancing yourself, it's a grief. It's a process of grief to lose it, but to create space for it, to integrate and heal. That's why I think I'm more of a fan of gradual healing. We live in an age now where it's very much like take this psychedelic, go to this guru, do this thing for healing now, you know, get healed quick scheme. Do it right now and it's all done. But it takes, for each party that has to be lost or healed or distanced, you need space to grieve it or to integrate it. It takes a long time. I've kind of made peace with that, right?
Yeah, well, it's a never-ending mm-hmm. path. And I think just to play off of that, you know, we're all looking for the answer, the psychedelic. And like that psychedelic experience opens a door for transformation. But then there's always something that's more under that. Like it's just we have to learn how to really embrace that this is what life is.
mm-hmm. No, it is this way.
And we can create our own suffering by being in denial. And not everybody chooses this path is what also I'm really... I've come into a lot of acceptance with I've chosen this path of transformation.
Do you think you chose it or do you think it chose you?
It chose me. I mean, it was like that since I was born.
Oh, since you're born?
Oh, yeah.
So you're unlike me. You're awake. You're awake from a young age.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Either awake or depressed.
Okay.
Numb, depressed, angry.
Okay.
So, but I chose it. I chose to keep going. Mm-hmm. I chose to do it. So it's just being acceptance of that too.
Yeah. You know, I people often tell me, because I'm young, like, how do you, on this path at your age, how have you done what you've done? It's like, it's not me. I don't believe it's me. I do believe this has been pre-programmed to some extent, and it's just my path. I have no way out. I can't go and take drugs. I just can't do it. I can't go and be unconscious. I can't do these things anymore. Once you reach a certain level in your consciousness, you just can't do the same things anymore. You just can't. I can't go to McDonald's. I just can't do that, right? Same thing. I just can't think a certain way. If a certain thought pattern comes up, it doesn't serve me anymore. I'm not picking up the phone. I just can't. I can't do it anymore. It's not a choice much. Yeah.
That's fascinating. So you've been able to really work with your thoughts.
Yeah, I have it's a phone call. It really is. It's like this fear-based pattern of mine from trauma will try and call. I'm not answering. I don't think you can do that off the bat, right? I think you have to understand why that's there, right? You can't just deny a thought because then it becomes a shadow. But once you realize, oh, this is a part of me that's still stuck in wounding from a traumatic experience, or this is a part of my dad or mom that still exists in my psyche, once you understand it and you see it in awareness and the light, but I guess to a certain point in that path, you have to just not go there anymore. I believe that. I think there's a time where you're like, oh, I hear you, you know, we're good. But
so is that just nurturing yourself through that, or
when it comes up?
Yeah, like what is the process?
The process is it's a complicated one, because most people have no idea what's going on. That's like the first level. So we take a unconscious person, right? They have a thought that seems disparate, which is like, what the hell is this thing? How can I be thinking this depraved thing in my mind, this demonic thing in my mind? That then goes to shame, right? And then when the thought goes to shame, it goes to the shadow. It's in your unconscious, and then it just goes to darkness, and then it manifests through you unconsciously, meaning that the same thought will then act through you without even knowing. So that's like, you don't want to do that, right? So then the first step from that is being like, okay, putting it in awareness, which is the light. Because if what's in the dark goes to light, it's not in the dark anymore, and therefore awareness is light. So once it's in awareness, you see it, but deeper in seeing it, you ask, where did this start, right? If it's, what's something, a good example I've struggled with? If it's I used to be a fat kid, right? So we've all dealt with this. So I look in the mirror, I think I look somewhat decent now, and a thought will come up of like, you look bad. This part of your body is, you know, fat or whatever. You look at it and you're like, I see it here. Where did this thought start from, right? When I was bullied, when I was 8 by the girls I liked, right? That's the part of me that's speaking to you right now. Then the shame goes away. Once the shame goes away, you can heal, right? Because the shame's gone because it's you at 8. You know, it's not you at 25 or 30. It's you at 8. You can't shame yourself at 8. So once you see yourself at 8 talking to you, and then becomes, okay, I get it. This makes sense. And then the shame goes away. And enough time passes, and then you realize, okay, you know what? I have compassion for this thing, but I can't keep doing this dance. When the phone rings, right? When it says, you look fat, you look ugly, I'm not picking up. I just can't do it anymore. I can't live my life that way. So that's like I summarize that well, but that's the stages I recommend is become aware of it, understand why it's there, and then stop picking up the phone. Without shame, though. Don't shame it. So, yeah. It's tough, though. It's not an easy thing to do at all. It feels like you're battling your own mind a lot. Yeah.
I like the just not picking up the phone. That's really helpful.
Yeah, because it's not, also, what's not talked about enough is that it is part of our psyche, right? Our unconscious and our collective unconscious and all that. Most of the time, it's actually not even us. It's, you know, we're antennas. A radio picks up frequency from around a city and will amplify a little song. We're picking up people's frequencies at all times, right? Like we're picking up thoughts. We don't know this, but if we're in a neighbor is thinking darkly and they're depressed, or someone we're close to, a friend or a family member, is thinking that way, it'll pop up in our mind. Or we're in a city that is stressed out over something going on in the world, we pick up this shit. So it's not even our shit half the time, or it's astrological stuff amplifying a certain part of our psyche saying something.
Oh, for sure.
It's not even and us half
of,
the time.
And a lot of the work we're doing, you know, in this lifetime is undoing work that happened before us. So yeah. Like a lot of our thoughts, a lot of our fears, a lot of the stuff we've manifested in our life is like comes from operating from a different place from generations above us.
Many things, ancestral, parents, our own past lives. That's been one I've had to heal. It's a crazy one to think about, but
past lives.
Yeah, we have past life trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not talked about enough. Because how much trauma do we think about? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, in this lifetime, in my 28 years of life, I'm like, I sure have been shedding a lot of fucking trauma. It wasn't that bad.
I think you've come here to clear lineages of your own.
Without a doubt. I was shown that too in the plant medicine ceremony. Like I felt 8 generations of trauma come through my body.
It's a lot of shit you have to deal with now.
Yes.
How do you deal with that, right? That you're like, sometimes I can get part of me angry at the sense of like, why the fuck am I doing this shit now in this incarnation to just clear all this shit at once? It can get frustrating. How do you reckon with that?
Have you studied the Kabbalah at all?
No.
Well, it talks about how we come here and we have our own tycoon, right? Which is our own thing in this lifetime to transmute, to work on and to change. And tycoon, I think, is the word. But I really believe in that. Like we are, I mean, it's such a deep conversation because like I believe that I'm breaking generational patterns, trauma for the next generation, for my children, for the people around me, you know, and that's just part of why I'm here. And that's part of the deep acceptance that I've had to really come into in the past year of this is why I'm here. I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it for my kids. I'm doing it for the people around me. I'm doing it for my bloodline that comes from a lot of trauma, a lot of suppression, a lot of anger, a lot of not embodying that, and a lot of fear, right? So I've had like so many fears. You know, money and survival has been a huge fear. Mm. So then that's always playing out in my life. That always has been. So I've created so many situations in my life where I constantly have to face that.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, you know, now I'm at this place where I'm really wanting to work with that. And, you know, by me working with that, by me coming into that, by me completing that pattern of I'm not afraid of that, then what does that do for my children? So that's the farthest I've gone.
Yeah, that's always motivates me because I think that's the advantage of waking up at a young age is that your kids download what you don't heal, which is, it's a fact, right? And the motivation for me now is like, oh shit, I have an opportunity to actually clear this shit before I have a kid, right? Because most people have a kid and then they clear it, right? Because they see their kid getting some of their stuff and then they go, oh fuck, I have to heal this stuff for this kid, right? But you're doing it now. You're healing yourself, obviously for you, but part of it is the fact that you have a head start on your kid eventually not downloading trauma, right? What amazing of an opportunity it is to give a kid a clean slate. Imagine that. Imagine coming into this strange world we live in with a clean slate.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking awesome. And I hope I can give someone that experience.
And I think that's where we're headed right now as a collective. That's what it really feels like is our generation is a generation that's much more aware of this kind of work, this rise, this awakening, this, I feel like it just wasn't as available to the generation above us. And what I'm seeing is the new babies that are coming in, they're from what I've observed, they're really in a lot of innocence. They seem like fresh souls, you know? So it's just interesting, I think, where we're going as a collective too.
It's awesome. It's what you said is true. And it's also true that we're more asleep than ever before. And the sad thing about, just like ourselves, right? In both our experiences, I'm speaking for you, but I think that's the case, that I had to go super dark to find the light, right? The pain had to become so unbearable where I could finally find a way to not be in pain. So the sad part is, I hope it's not true. I think it's true. God, please don't make it true. That we have to get dark enough collectively and enough pain collectively to realize that we can't do this shit anymore, which means more of the fucked up things we're seeing in society manifesting. Until,
and it keeps happening.
Yeah, it's getting worse and worse. And hopefully we all wake up. And I don't think it'll be done in our lifetime. Hopefully it starts. But I try and stay hopeful because it's pretty dark out there.
So then what did your path look like?
Of healing?
Yes. You're in this dark, dark, dark place. Got unbearable.
Yeah, I got off all the meds. That was rough. That was really
just
rough.
Cold turkey?
Yeah. Don't do that. do not do that.
What were you, did you just have a thought like I'm done?
Yeah, I just couldn't do it.
What's your sign in this job?
Libra.
Okay.
Libra. Oh, I just can't do it. Thankfully I was with a doctor who I told him, like, I'm kind of built different. I can take a lot of pain and suffering. He was like, all right, it's not gonna be fun, but let's do this. So I got off all of them. One of them I couldn't, or I would have died. So there's like 6 or 7 or 8 of them I was taking at once. And then one I couldn't because I would have died. That one had to take some time getting off. So that was the first step, was just like clearing my system. And then I just was just kind of operating like a madman. I had all this resurge of energy. I felt like enlivened. I knew my purpose. Thankfully, I knew I had to help people. But I did not help myself. So I was in like the wounded healer era of like, I want to help people, but I don't know how to help myself, and forget myself. I'm just going to write a bunch of stuff and learn a bunch of stuff. So I basically just started writing a bunch of articles and learning, you know, every week I wrote a 10, 20 page article about some component of philosophy or trauma or healing. And then, so I got really smart about it, right? Cause I come from an academic background. So I just treated it like class. And then of course I was like, oh shit, having something in your head is different than having it in your body. So, okay, how do I actually heal this shit stuck in my body? And then that was like the following year was a whole journey of how do I actually do this shit? And that worked for me the most was somatic healing. That was super beneficial. I did a combination of actual therapy and somatic breath work. I did 2 hours somatic breath work once a week.
Yeah.
With like a dude there with like a vibrating thing, sticking it in points of my body that were traumatized and clearing it.
Because then you're feeling the depth of the pain there so it can complete.
Yeah. My story is... I'm a master intellectualizing my pain and intellectualizing shit to bypass it, right? So I can understand or analyze my pain in 2 seconds. Like, come from here, this part of my psyche, this part of my brain, this part of the collective unconscious, I see it in 2 seconds, right? But then I don't actually feel it. So I've learned it's like a barrier, and it's a protective barrier. A lot of people who are good at intellectualizing just can't feel. And unfortunately, most people in the world who run the world are that way. They're very smart, and they can't feel a shit, so they stay up here. So that was a hard battle for me, was moving the barrier away from this to my body. And then once I did that, everything changed.
And then what? Tell me more. Where were you during this process?
So I was in Hawaii for first year. Okay. And then I moved here the following.
So you were, where were you from?
I'm from New York City. My parents are from Ecuador, but I'm from New York City.
Okay.
Yeah. The Matrix. I call it the Matrix out there. So just
New York City, then you go to Hawaii.
This is during COVID. So it was during COVID.
What island did you go to?
Big Island, Kona. That's where I have a house out there. I was in the house. It was me and my mom. And I was like, you know, popping pills and getting high. My mom in the house. And she was like screaming and being like, what the fuck are you doing?
Do you have a good relationship with your mom?
I mean, she's passed away now, but we still get along. Yeah, we still get along. She's like me. She's super open.
So you two were like, we're going to Hawaii.
Yeah, I was there. And then I couldn't be a drug addict with my mom in the house. So I had to get my shit together, thankfully. And then that's where I cleared that stuff. And then I went back to New York and I was like, I can't live here. This is just not my style. So I moved here and then I started doing this kind of stuff. And why the body work was so important for me is that all of life is energy, you know, energy precedes matter. So what's crazy is that if I were to take two versions of you, you had a super insecure version of yourself and a super confident version of yourself. And you look the same way. You're wearing the same outfit. Basically, my brain can only... my brain perceives the energy and decodes it into physical matter with the energy you are with, right? So, like, the insecure version of you would warp... The energy would warp together, and then I would perceive it in a way that's, like, less attractive, right? If I was a confident version of you, the energy of the confidence is warped with the atoms of your actual being. That then combines in my mind to perceive a more attractive version. So all this is energy. So I realized that, like, no matter how smart you are, what you know up here, the energy of your body is what people perceive, what the world perceives, right? Mm-hmm. So once I actually cleared the wounding from my body, the world stopped showing me it, right? So once I had the trauma in my body of all the trauma I've dealt with in my life stuck, which is mostly like, I'm not worthy of success. I'm not worthy of woman, because most of my wounding comes from my mom's side of the family. I'm not worthy of dating beautiful woman. I always had that in my mind. Or I'm not worthy of professional success. And I'm not worthy of good friends who are aligned with me. All that like unworthiness stuff was here. It wasn't in my mind. Once that cleared, because when I was stuck here, I kept being shown the same thing, right? I'm not worthy of a good woman. And then a good woman would come and then I couldn't get her, obviously, right? I'm not worthy of success. Success, opportunity for success would come and I couldn't get it. Once that cleared, the world stopped showing me that, right? I'm not that way anymore, so that I can now receive certain things. And that's all here.
And that was through the somatic work that you were really working with.
Yeah, that's one piece of it.
Yeah.
That's the foundational piece. There's other components for sure, but that's the most important one I think we should all be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what were you doing for work during this time?
I still had a year left of school, so I was still in school.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was strange. I finished school. I was in school during all this. Thankfully, you know, my father did well enough to support me for a while. So it was just,
that's great.
That's a privilege I come from, right? Where I could just do this shit. And I think so I called in, sold it. Because I think that's the reality of the capitalistic matrix we live in. I'm not, you know, anti-capitalism, but it's, we don't have time to heal.
No, and that's been the hardest part for me.
Yeah, like how the fuck can one have time and space to heal if you're
quote unquote business and having to go in this portal and then having to be like, what am I letting go of right now? Because it's just, yeah. I mean, you understand, but when you're in the depth of it in this way, it is like full on, full time.
It's a full time job.
Job.
it is the only job we should have, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, life doesn't work that way, sadly.
Yeah. Well, I have thoughts of that. Just like the system, you know?
Yeah.
Like they don't want you to know yourself, because what happens when we know we're worthy
of
all of this shit?
Yeah.
So
how do you manage that? How's that been? How have you gotten to a place now? Have you gotten to a place where you can feel like you're a balance, where you can have that balance of your work and then also have time to heal? How do you manage that?
Now it's just really working with the, because I've gone so deep into the healing where I have taken time not working, and that's also played a role in a lot of like the money fear. So at the same time, I'm like healing stuff, but then I'm also like still have this kind of entity, this survival, like, oh fuck, am I going to be okay? And what am I choosing? But I really got to a place in my nervous system and my ability that I really know what I'm here to do now. And it was always there. It happened 5 years ago. And I'm really like full circle back in it, in the work I started in. And it's just been also working with that. For me now, it's like reprogramming that worthiness, that worthiness bit.
Yeah, I'm still in that.
Yeah. So that's what it is for me now, because I'm very passionate, very creative. I really know. I mean, what I share is like comes from, I have walked this path. Mm-hmm. I walk this path. So anything that I share to my community is embodied in a way of being and living. So it's more so just working with that. Like I'm okay to be safe. I can't, and not sabotaging that, because that's my little trigger, is like the safety and the money and the like, oh fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking I've noticed that I sabotage that for myself. So there was definitely a point where there was so much light that was trying to come in, and it really did take like just a full focus. I'm in it. I'm going to surrender to this. And then, you know, a healing process. And then now it's really at this place where it's like, it's time to like stop just cleaning out the insides. Like I'm pretty clean and we're always working on stuff, but also what I share and what I do in this world is so embodied. And so it's just really more so just reprogramming stuff that's not true for me.
Yeah, there's a thing I try and remember, which is you have to, the process of individuation and healing begins, we have to build your ego up enough to a level where you can let it go. What that means is I'm not saying to be, you know, a pompous asshole. I mean, to have enough self-worth, to have enough confidence in yourself, to not need to be someone in a way. So what I mean by that is, to be spiritual to me means to not even believe you're real. Let me unpack that. If you're not your thoughts, what are you? Right, you are what observes. So in Hindu culture, they call it the self, which is that which observes. And I try and stay in that place as much as possible. Just try and be what observes. And it's hard to be in that place if you're still stuck to so many attachments of identity, whether it be work or romance, all these things. You can't be in that space if you're attached to all these things. And it's impossible to get to that place if you don't have a self-worth. If how can you become nobody if you are still deeply in pain, if you're still so attached to so many things? It's impossible. So you have to basically become strong enough in yourself to let go. And it sounds counterintuitive, but letting go and surrendering is the toughest thing one can do, truly. Mm-hmm. To really be like, oh fuck, I have no control at all, really. Like my ego has, like this is a fucking corkscrew in the ocean, literally. And what's outside of my control is so much more powerful. To actually surrender to that is the most painful process one could be. And that is what, you know, awakening is. So I realize you have to basically build yourself up, self-worth up enough to realize I can handle just being okay with not being so egoistically centered, if that makes sense. I don't know if I explained that well.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, that's the journey for everyone, but it's the toughest one. I still struggle with it. I'm a control freak.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, and then we don't really have much control at the end of the day, so.
Well, that's, you know, that's the cosmic joke. It's like.
Body Forward is not just a podcast. I also have online offerings for you if you are looking for a home for your body to further your path of transformation, getting to know yourself, who you really are. If you are someone who knows that there's more out there for you, if you are someone who wants to come online, awaken to who you really are, to feel alive, to be alive, to feel your feelings, to know the depths of yourself, I think you will benefit greatly from my offerings. I use the power of food. I have different cleanses, different detoxes, different food programs that really help us create space within the body to live not only in our best bodies and not only in the body that feels light and lean, but using food as a tool to get to know yourself, to clear out what is no longer serving you so that you can be connected to your true nature. Food is such a powerful tool for us to be able to do that. And I use different modalities that have changed my life. And ultimately, I share a lot of recipes and methodologies that help us return to nature, our true nature. Food as nature. And then I also use the body in different ways through a Kundalini activated practice and meditation practice and using our breath, using our bodies, using movement, using sound to come home to who we are, to remember who we are, to feel our innate power, the power that lives within us. I do an everyday practice with movement, meditation, breath work that is Kundalini inspired, that has helped me with my confidence, my creativity, my sensuality, knowing myself. And I share this daily practice in my Body Forward membership. So if you are looking for a home for the body, I cover it all. I share what I'm doing. I share the practices and I don't hold back in my membership. The link for the membership is in the show notes. You can start a 7-day trial at anytime, cancel at any time. It's risk-free, but I highly recommend jumping into this membership and putting in the daily work to get to know yourself and to live a rich life. What you are looking for lives within you and your body.
Yeah, that's what I'll literally be sitting down sometimes. I'll just burst into laughing because out of nowhere. And it is this cosmic.
Well, you
joke.
Zoom out, right? And it's like, okay, how many times are you gonna run that one in your head and react to that? And it's what I'm working with now is like it's purely a choice. Like I've come to this place where I have passion. I know a lot of shit. I know what to do. I know what to do, right? To live and I get it and I understand the energy and I understand, right? And then it's just that like getting caught in it to like okay, zoom out. You know, and just not getting hooked by the old stuff or just by how we all operate, you know?
What's the most, your most popular way of sabotaging yourself? What's been like your go-to?
Oh gosh, what one is it? I think it's like not fully, it's definitely financially, like knowing what to do, really knowing what to do, and then like pulling back. So like, being here and then contracting, putting up my walls a little bit.
What do you mean? Can you give me an example?
Yeah. So like, for example, I will have plans for what I'm going to do in the next 3 months, right? Fully know what to do. Great. Feel super excited about it. Feels really right. And then I will just like not do it. Not take that step and then worry about like, oh, the loan payment and then this and then the that. And then that's then where my energy goes. And then it'll be like a spiral from there of like, I wasn't born into money. And I, you know, am I ever going to meet a man and have a family? And I want to be a mom. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What would make me feel the best right now? And this is just to create that safety, that stability within myself, because that creates a calm nervous system. Yeah. And I know what to do. I have a lot of passion. I am like one of the most passionate people that there is. And I am such a creator. My audience, like I will create. And so that's like a part of my gifts and what I love to do. So like that's what I know to do and what I want to do, what my soul wants to do. And then the sabotage is like just taking a different path.
Yeah, but to ascend, we will always face that zone. If our, I see it as like a circle around me, it's like the sabotage circle. And we, it's a sign to me. It's a sign that I'm doing the right thing. Right? If the self sabotage loops come up, I know I'm doing the right thing. I know because really? whatever I'm doing here is to ascend past it.
Okay, so then how do you lean into it versus going on the merry-go-round?
Well, you have to go on the merry-go-round go enough time.
Because it always happens right before I'm on the brink of like breaking the pattern.
But that's a beautiful sign. It truly is. It means that what's in front of it is the ascension, is the step to ascension. Whenever I encounter that loop, it's like I know what lies beyond this is the answer. So it's a beautiful sign. It's like the sign from God to say, I'm meant to take this step. I do believe that. Not every single case, but to say how you actually don't get stuck in it. You have to go around the Ferris wheel to enough times to know it hurts you enough times, right? So if you can picture, like, I've been in this ride 20 times, and it leads me to the same exact
this
spot.
This example is my ride. I always have the fucking golden ticket to this ride.
Yeah, I get it. And it's like, how many times is this ride? Where's this ride got me?
And I'm bored of it.
I haven't left. You stay in the loop, right?
I'm so bored of it.
You stay in the loop and you get off and you're still in the same spot, right? The fear goes away and you're staying in the same spot. And then you go to the Ferris wheel again, you're in the same spot. So it's like you always end up in the same spot. So that's where I kind of go to. So like, I know where this leads me, firstly. It's not anything better or worse than I am now. Just exact same place, which I don't want to be. And then the second piece, which I emphasized earlier, is like having you already do it. Like, what compassion can I have for why this is the case, right? You know why. And then the last one is just like when you go into, let's say there's the opportunity for success here and you're here. And then there's this line of the self-sabotage area, right? You see it and then it tempts you, it warns you. Like I said, don't pick up the phone. Walk over to the spot. And then what's tricky is that like it'll keep following you, right? This spot will then go further and it'll keep following you. Like it's like a shadow, it is your shadow following you. It's just a matter of like, there are two voices in your mind, fear and faith. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to fear. I declare that in my mind. It's like an affirmative thing. I don't listen to fear. When it comes up, I'll see it, witness it, and observe it, but I don't pick up the phone. I don't hear it, right? And that's just been, it's a simple way of viewing it, but it's been revolutionary for my life.
For them, the action after that, is that just really intense discipline?
But just know that voice will always be there. Like that's the point in healing that I wish people get over. Like your anxiety is not going to go away. Your fear is not going to go away. Your traumatic thinking patterns may not go away and they won't for a long time. The trick is to just not listen to them and not follow them and not believe them. Everyone's in this cycle. I'm in the same cycle myself in many ways, but I'm just really trying not to pick up the phone. And the better you get at that, the easier it'll be, I guess. It's a skill, right? Thinking, yeah. When I get mad at myself, being like, what do I think this way? Why do I think these negative, demonic thoughts? Why do I do this? It's a habit. I thought this way for 25 years. Of course I'm going to think that way, right? Breaking the habit is tough. It's tough, but it's the only way through. So to people listening, if you're taking a big step in your life, that loop of self-sabotage will come, mm-hmm. for sure. And if it doesn't come, you're not taking a leap big enough. And that leap is the path of ascension for your soul. So why I say that is like, just trust that voice, don't shame it, or self-sabotage, not trust it, but don't like know why it's there. And once you can know why it's there, you'll get motivated to surpass it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's helpful.
Yeah. Really helpful. I got you. I mean, we all deal with it.
Yeah, we all do.
We all deal with it. I'm not
Mine
trying to speak. I still deal with
it's
it.
It's like unbearable. Like this particular thing, it's just, even with just this eclipse and this full moon that just happened, it was the thing again where I'm just like, I don't know where it's happening.
That's a very painful place to be when you're aware and you know better and you're mm-hmm. still falling under it. It's tough.
Well, and then that's where like there's almost, for me, there's anger. Stop.
Yeah, of course. Of course it's going to be anger. That's where depression comes from, I feel like. It's like when we know we should be doing something better and we're not doing it and we're still doing the same thing, right? Like you're aware of what you have to do, but you're not doing it.
Yeah.
And you're stuck in this.
And then I just think there's just a repatterning of like the simple thing of just like, you have to get fucking disciplined. You have to do the shit you don't want to do to get through it. Like to not follow that, you know, and push through the resistance of what is the action? What's the other action I could take today versus following this trail?
Yeah. And it's also like, if you go to actually listen to the fear, it's like, what are you actually afraid of? right? For me, my example would be, okay, if I like a certain, when I was younger, woman, I don't feel worthy of her, right? If I ask her to go on a date, then I can't do it, right? There's no way I can do it. I'd meet someone and she'd like me, but I just couldn't fathom doing it, right? And it's like, okay, sure, don't listen to the voice, but then what am I afraid of, right? And the fear is, to some extent, I'm not enough. I'm not worthy.
Rejection.
And that thing, that feeling will never change versus yes or no. It's just still my body. So it's like, that's why I learned too, if it's, I'm taking some big move and it fails, it's like I'm just met with what I have to heal anyway, right? So this, if this thing bombs, or let's say I'm starting a new business and I go in and it fails and I took the leap of faith, it fails, but it doesn't matter what the thing is, right? It's just like I'm met with what I have to heal. So worst case, this fails, you're just met with your wounding. It didn't work. Okay, it didn't work. What does that mean? I didn't work. What does that mean? I don't think I'm enough, right? And you're faced with these woundings that you can clear. So at the end of the day, I realized whatever risk I take and it fails, I'm just met with what I have to heal anyway. And probably fail it for that purpose so I can heal this thing and then get it in the future. So there's no wrong outcome. I've come to that. Mm. A big risk, there's never a wrong outcome, right? Maybe if you lose a ton of money, that's rough. But
you can bounce back from that.
Yeah, but it's more so you're just faced with what you have to heal. That's the failure. That's like,
yeah,
the worst of it.
Yeah, losing the money, and then you're faced with the path of like who are you going to become in that process to be able to make that money or to overcome that?
Yep.
Would you talk about dating and just your experience with that and just being someone so self-aware? Because that's something that I'd just love to hear you talk about that.
Yeah, dating is
sensitive, self-aware.
Dating is a weird one right now in the culture, especially for people our age. Yeah. It's tough. We are really bad at intimacy. Mm-hmm. We're also wounded in the sense that people have an incapacity to have intimacy. Think about it, right? If your example of intimacy was not safe and your parent was distant and you never felt good, you will only be able to tolerate that in the foreseeable future, right? For me, I had an insecure attachment to both parents. So when I would fall in love, head over heels at 19 when I was in college, oh my God, I'm so in love, and this, they didn't give a fuck about me, right? But that's what I could tolerate. That's the only way I could love, because intimacy to me was terrifying, because I didn't know what intimacy was. I didn't know what it felt like. I couldn't heal myself to get there. And so most people were raised by pretty, you know, not great parents. That's unfortunately the world we live in. To those who were, awesome. I would, great. My parents are amazing. They just did certain things. They did cause pain, which like all of us, I have nothing against them. So most of us have these massive wounds we carry that we just don't know how to deal with. So we try and heal them unconsciously through hyper promiscuity. You know, I'm not trying to shame anyone, but you know, it's our only way. I thought about this. People are more comfortable taking their clothes off in front of a stranger than telling a person they love what's going on inside of them. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Like I can reveal my outer nakedness to any stranger from a club. I can't reveal my inner nakedness to a person I care about. That's where we're at. So dating, that's like the philosophical take on dating right now, is people are being asked to meet their incapacity for intimacy and wounding, but they just can't. So they keep falling for the same cycle of dealing with people who don't care about them. And you see people I care about deeply who are nice people and amazing people, and they just keep attracting the same partner over and over again who doesn't give a fuck about them because they can't heal their wounding from their parent. So that's that experience. My experience personally is, it's very different now, thankfully, because I used to be a mess. I think men and women have a weird way of projecting fantasy, right? Like I could see a beautiful woman and then be like, oh my God, this person's going to make my life much better. When I'm with her, I feel great. When I'm, you know, on vacation with her, I feel amazing. She's a gateway to make me feel my body, right? And men do that unconsciously. They project this fantasy of like divinity. She's now the solution to my life. She makes it amazing. And then we like project this version of them that isn't even real. That was what I did a lot. So
I love hearing this man's perspective. I don't think I've ever heard it.
Well, men do that. It's in Jungian psychology, which I study the most. It's men have a force inside them called the anima, which is like a queen inside them. It's weird language, but like a feminine force men have that we don't know what to deal with, right? And it's responsible for men's intuition, our feeling function, and we project that to a woman. So a woman becomes our gateway to feel. And to feel inspired and to feel enlivened. So we need her to do that. And we make her response for all these things and protect all these things to her. But then we're not dating her. We're dating a divine angel that isn't a human. I did that all the time. And then eventually I realized you have to.
So is that also why men will go after like certain, it seems to me like sometimes men, they go after like the same archetype.
Yeah, of course.
Which is like, it's like picture perfect on the outside. Yeah,
it's the reflection of their soul. That's what it is. It's like they're chasing their soul. It's like a beautiful caricature of that. And then they're falling in love with the projection of their soul. They're not falling in love with the human.
Yeah.
So I did that shit all the time. And women do it too in a different way. So yeah, that's what I did for a long time. And now it's tough because when you're attracted to someone, by nature, you are the same, you're resonating the same frequency. Like if you move beyond physical desire, when you are attracted, you're resonating at the same frequency. I'm not saying this to be cocky or sound like I'm full of myself, which I'm not, I hope not, is when you clear frequency and heal a lot, in this sick society, you can't resonate anymore. You can get attracted to someone, but they're not healing. And therefore, I meet them, you meet a beautiful person who's cool, and I just can't because they're not my frequency. So that's one of the hard parts about healing in the dating world is that you realize how little they're just not like, I mean, I can feel your energy and they're not, I don't mean this to dishearten you, but like, there's not a lot of men who can handle that.
I know. And it's fucking rough.
There are some who can.
It's scary though. Like, that's like a fear of mine.
In what way? Like there's no one for you out there?
Is there anyone out there?
There is. Yeah, there is.
Have yet to meet anyone that can. I feel like, it just feels like that in dating for me. It's like this immediate frequency of like the man's kind of like, and I'm like, okay, no.
What do you mean by that? Like, they get too needy? What is it that you feel?
No, like there's just a lot here. Like I'm just very in touch.
They can't handle it, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it's going to happen. And yeah. I don't mean to dishearten you, but it's you being protected, right? Like it's a blessing, right? If a man can't handle all of you, all your feminine, you know, divine feminine being that you are and all that you carry, it's not the one, right? But thank God, right? Because imagine in the past you'd get into relationships with the kind of people and they'd make you damp down, right? Yeah. A partner is the easiest way to like diminish your frequency, right? Because if you're with someone who can love you for all you are and be with you and not try and control you and not trying to make you feel any less and inspire you to feel more and to be present more, that only lifts you up. If you're with someone who's like, don't feel your emotion, don't be needy, don't be emotional, don't do this, da, 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 you start diminishing, and then you're stuck in a trap. So those are all blessings until the right one comes, but it is disheartening for the ego. I can attest to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just been a very fascinating path. To just go down this path of really self-exploration, awakening, knowing yourself, understanding all of these things, and then being a living experience of it.
Yeah.
You know, you just see things differently.
Yeah.
You see, you feel, and you perceive.
So I've come to the fact that, like, objectively, there aren't going to be a lot of people out there who can handle what you and I bring, understandably. Because imagine you never healed before and you met with someone, a crazy person like you or me. They're like, what the fuck is, how the hell do I handle this, right? However, there are people, if there is you, there are people like you. And when you, I think I've noticed some people who, like you and I, who believe, have that belief. Like there's no, I can never meet a man or a woman who's like me, but guess what's going to happen? You're not, right? Yeah. When you're open to it, like I've felt my wife recently. That sounds insane, but I've been, you know, I felt her energy. I don't know what she looks like, but I felt her energy and I know she's somewhat on the way. And
do you want that?
Yeah, I want a wife and kids. Yeah, I want a family.
Yeah, young.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
The dating world. It can be fun and all, but it's just too much. It's not my thing.
I don't do the dating world.
What does that mean? You don't do the dating world?
It's just not for me.
So what does that mean?
It's not for me. Sometimes if I do, which this is another big aha in the past couple weeks, if I put my toes in the pool, it's often the same archetype that it's always been, which is, you know, famous, untouchable, going to reject me, already like, he's gonna be cheating, I gotta check his phone, I gotta see who's phone, gotta da, 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 da. You know, that was my one like infatuation,
you're not alone
experience. Yeah. Was, you know, like, yeah, you go get the soda in the, you know, grocery store, and I'm going to check your phone and see that you cheated on me last night, and drug dealer, like all the things, right? And just always being, but that was also you know, my childhood thing was rejection. So I always have gone after archetypes of rejection. I'm at this place now where I'm like, no, I don't want to put myself through that. But I do notice that, like, if I turn on to being open to dating, I will find an archetype that is like, I'm already attracting the rejection-ish. So, but I'm so aware of all these things, and I really want family, I really want children, all that. So
You really believe that you'll keep attracting that?
No, no. I'm saying that's been my default.
Oh, okay.
That's been my default. So like coming on, so where I've been lately is if I open slightly, I catch it right away. Like that's the archetype and so then I'm like, nope. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. But I just haven't really dated. Like I just really went on my own journey. That's cool. Now I'm at this place where I'm ready and I'm like turning it on. I'm observing, okay, the rejection thing. All right, let's like turn it off and just be with that for a moment. And
yeah, what I've realized, especially in dating, is that how much we need drama. The ego's food is drama. So what that means is like, how do I say this without sounding like I'm super misogynistic, but a lot of women who men find attractive, who they see as hot, aren't even attracted, they're just crazy. And a lot of men who women find attractive aren't attracted, they're just insane. And why that is the case is that like, our ego needs that drama to be alive, right? To give it fuel to suffer and to think about all these things. So what happens is that we keep attracting these things because we can't tolerate peace. We can't tolerate just being alone with ourselves and be calm. When you actually get to that place that you did in your own, you know, I don't know if you're celibate, but whatever you did with being alone for a while, you learn to tolerate peace. You learn to be in that way. And then when you're that way, when that drama comes, as someone who's associated with that, I don't want that in my life.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at now.
Yeah.
From that space is I will, like I said, turn the faucet on, notice that archetype, and I just am like, no.
Yeah. That's the thing I've dealt with, because most, even like men I'm close, most of my friends are, you know, mid-30s, early 40s, married, because I'm a strange 25-year-old.
I can't really get... Yeah, all my friends. I'm always like, hey, bring your kids,
But a lot of them, it's like this... Mine is a couple. It's always like, oh man, my wife, girls are, you know, women are all this stuff. And I'm just trying to move past that. I just do believe that once you're at a place where you're just calm and you can be present and centered and peaceful, you will attract someone who's that way. I'm not saying you'll avoid arguments, but almost every relationship, which is constant, like bickering and all this shit that I'm just not calling in. Yeah. Because we need it. Like there's an experiment where someone was, they got people to sit down in a room for 10 minutes and they said, you can sit here for 10 minutes in silence. There's an electric shocker here. You can choose to actually shock yourself or not. Do whatever you want. Something like 70% of men chose to shock themselves in the room.
Yeah.
Rather than just sit there alone for 10 minutes, right? And that perfectly explains where we're at as a society. We need this constant like bombardment of stimulation egoistically to feel alive, right? Like that's what I've learned. Like we can't even sit for 10 minutes alone with our thoughts.
It's such a dating thing too. Yeah, it's drama.
Yeah.
Drama.
Yeah, and we need it. Yeah. That's the hard part. It's our food.
Yeah.
It's our food.
Yeah, I'm not calling that in. That's not, no.
Yeah, I still catch my mind doing it, right? Like, you know, you meet someone, you have a connection, and then you text them, and you're like...
Infatuation, I would
like,
say.
Are they going to answer me? Da, 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 and you see your mind doing this shit. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Who's your following?
Yeah, I've learned just to be, you know, that's why I try and be Buddhist in the sense of just objective, whatever... If you send a message or you take a risk, just let it be. You do a business proposal, you send an email that's risky. It's just that. Everything attached to it is unnecessary.
Well, what's meant to happen is going to happen.
Yes.
Bottom line.
Yes. So, yeah. True.
And so often you can be in a space of lack, or you can, you know, see the divine gift, the divine message. And just if I was with someone in the past 10 years, I wouldn't have had the journey that I've been on. This journey that I've been on is like making me the mother that I want to be. And so it's just really trusting.
Yeah. That's the
trusting the universe.
That's the way. There's a thing I've been thinking about, that the graduation and maturation of ourselves is reflective of, if you put all your psychic energy on your ego as a way of viewing the world, right? Like you just, everything's under your control and everything's in your hands. That only gets you so far. But once you put you literally move the energetic control to your soul, and you trust that I'm not in control. I trust whatever is my soul or my unconscious that's guiding me knows better than me. once you can put your energy in that space, everything opens up. And that's the journey for all of us. I'm not fully there. I try to be. But that's when we start becoming free, when we put our trust in that part of ourselves, not the egoistic part that needs control all the time. Yeah.
What does your work look like now in the world?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I do see it as it begins with me. Because I do believe in embodied wisdom. I think that nowadays, I'm not a big fan of psychedelics, honestly. I've taken them. But what happens nowadays is that you take psychedelics, you go on some course, you go under some guru, and then like you intellectually like download a piece of wisdom that you didn't earn, that wasn't part of you, that you didn't really suffer for. Where I'm at now is whatever wisdom I speak, I've learned from experience, truly. And it's embodied. I am it. And I've just met so many people podcasting, not to talk shit, but who have all this wisdom, and then next thing you know, they're doing the complete opposite behind closed doors. And I just don't want to be that person.
I've experienced that too in this industry.
I don't want to.
Shocked me.
It's horrifying.
It's actually mind-boggling. And big people too.
Yeah, for sure. And I really just can't be that person, because then whatever I speak and whatever like heals from that is getting that same.
Well, it just makes me really question everything.
Yeah, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. Yeah, I remember when I first moved here. You know, I had no following, nothing, and I was idolizing these people. Like, oh my god, they're amazing. And then I, you know, befriend them, interview them. You know, of course, I'm not going to say names, but you just realize this: people are not
your integrity
at all, like zero. And so that's my work. Go back to your question. My work is just to really speak from experience. Mm-hmm. Whatever I speak of, I've been through it, and it's channeled through my own pain. So I believe I am. My purpose is clearing this. I think everyone's purpose should be to integrate and heal their shadow. That's like, if everyone did that and didn't worry about fucking crypto or whatever it may be, this world would be a lot better.
Way different world.
So that's my purpose. And then the way I actually communicate that is what the world sees, right? Which is writing, making videos, and then interviewing people. It's probably my main thing is podcasting. But my skill as a podcaster is I can see someone's pain because I felt it. I can feel immediately. I know someone is like, I just feel, because I know it myself. So it all goes hand in hand. So yeah, my purpose is to clear the pain in my system. That's what I do. And then thankfully I'm at a place where the work I do can match that. Yeah.
That's really cool. You seem like you're in a very good place.
I mean,
so just aware.
thank God. I mean, I was fucking miserable for most of my life. It only really changed this past year.
Really?
Like maybe January, February. I just realized, oh shit, I'm actually kind of...
this January.
February. Yeah, I think I'm happy. I'm actually happy. And whatever that means, I didn't know what that felt like. But now I'm like, oh fuck, I'm actually happy. Holy shit.
How did that kind of shift?
A lot of it was, I think I my soul chose its path in the order it did. I had to clear my shit first. I had to really clear the fucking gunk from my body. That was brutal. I had, you know... severe stomach issues, health issues, like it comes through you. So I had, you know, it literally had to come through me. So I went a year or two of just clearance. And then
did you know that that's what you were doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people avoid, I'm in the body work, but a lot of people avoid the body and what needs to.
I've been trained by a guru since for the past 3-4 years. Okay. So I've been following his path and what he tells me, learning from him. So that's what he told me to do, and I did it. And then in the beginning of this year, I dealt with my health, right? Because I kind of ignored my health to do all the healing shit. But then I got really into it because I didn't have the space to do the protocols I do now. I wouldn't have been able to handle it. I would have passed out probably, honestly. So now I implemented health protocols that, in combination with the trauma clearance, together have just like... Once I got the health stuff taken care of, now I'm actually...
It's so important, the health stuff too.
Now I'm healthy, I can say. And certain things that did cause that were cool, but that combination of, you know, not being so stuck in trauma and having your vessel clear is just, you know, important.
It's another world's your oyster.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
What's next? Fuck if I know.
Wait, what did you just say?
I don't know. Fuck if I know. I don't know what's next. Yeah, I know. I've gone to a place where I just might take it day by day. I try and do what I do best, what I know, and trust that whatever is guiding me knows what's next. Because the more I've gone to that mindset of like, what do I do next? What's here? What's that? I'm in this rat race. I don't know. So I just try and be where I am now and trust that whatever's guiding me will present it to me. And it's more working out a little bit. So
no, that's the best place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just take the divine messages and keep following them.
I try my best. Yeah.
Would you, before we close, speak a little bit on discipline?
Yeah. So discipline creates a skill set we need to utilize when inspiration knocks on the door. What that means is that discipline creates the skill set we have to utilize when inspiration knocks on the door. So what that means is that, like, if for example, I'm a writer, right? So I get a lot of ideas. I'll be watching, I know how to analyze mythology pretty well with the Jungian in psychology. So I watch a movie, I'll get this massive hit of like, holy shit, this is like a collective unconscious point that I have to speak to. And inspiration hits, right? We feel it, right? When you feel inspired, it's like there's this force in you. It feels, it's otherworldly. That's when I feel God the most, is when I feel this like call to do something that's connected to my purpose. But if we have no skill set, what the fuck do we do, right? If you get this message like, go write this article, write this book, and you look at your computer, I haven't written in 6 years, I don't know how to do this shit, then I can't fucking do it. So thankfully, I wrote for years and years of my life when I didn't want to, over and over again. So when I get inspired, I can sit down and have the skill set to do what I do, right? So you can actually use that force. I feel inspired because I'm skilled at writing. I can go and like, oh shit, I can actually write this thing, right? Or speaking or podcasting. But when we're lazy and we don't get good at something, the skill, I don't mean, it's not egoistic in the sense of like, you know, who says I'm good or not, but it's more so that I've done it enough times where it can speak through me. The divine flow can speak through me, whether it be dancing, I don't know, whatever the skill may be. You need to be good at something or know it well enough for the divine force to speak through you. So that's the first part. And then secondly is that our ability, I don't believe my ideas come from me. I know they don't. I know it comes from, call it God. I call it just, I believe it exists in the collective unconscious. Ideas, philosophical ideas, they just exist. And then how clean our vessel is how well we can channel them and work them out, right? So if my vessel is fucked up, I'm drinking, you know, doing ketamine on the weekend and having sex with a stranger that I don't know well, and I get their energy.
Yeah, it's a lot then I'm of like, energy in
then
your body.
Then it's like, I'm blocked. I can't access this shit. So discipline in the sense of, you know, my daily sauna, ice baths, working out, eating healthy, all the stuff I do, I channel like that. It comes, I see it, I feel it, I do it.
You have the vessel.
So it's a combination of like creating the skill set you need and also having the right vessel to channel it. That combination will make you succeed, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. So is it being in devotion to yourself, to your body,
yeah,
so that you can be pure.
Yeah, and people will often get people come so insane when it comes to this. Like, you gotta have balance. You know, you gotta have.
I mean, I've been in this industry for 5-6 years, and I have just gotten so much backlash from just how I promote eating and lifestyle and all that.
Nah, fuck them. I can't stand it.
It comes from this of like, I am going to be a clear channel.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
And yeah, you know, it's like, people so disordered. It's like disorder because I want to fucking feel.
People want to justify their laziness and their own shit. It just is what it is. And I'm sure it can get there, right? Eating disorders do exist. But
say it depends that, like, where is it coming from? You know,
yeah,
is
of course.
It coming from this pace of like, I respect my body. I want to be a clear vessel. I know what it feels like to feel good in my body and to be clear. So my choices are going to align with that.
It's awesome to hear you say this because I'm in this battle constantly, especially with family and friends from back when I was, you know, younger.
Oh, you can talk to me about it. I've been on the news. I have articles about me.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck, thankfully.
I post a fucking bowl of beautiful vegetables and people are like...
Yeah, I just can't. It's for me personally, like you said, the minute if I eat, for me, if I go eat bread or a burger somewhere, or you know, fried in, you know, canola oil, I'm done. Like I know when I'm clear. The light's running through me. I know how easy that goes away, right? And if I eat the wrong thing, or if I, you know, watch the wrong thing, if I watch a horror movie, or, you know, again, you sleep with a stranger to some extent, or you hang out with people who don't like you, the light vanishes. And we live in a dark world. It's tough to say that, but we do.
Sleeping with and all of that, that's a thing too.
Yeah, we don't realize that. It's intense.
Just have some fun. I'm like, at what cost?
No, I'm with you. It's nice meeting someone like that because most people just can't do it and they don't get it.
Yeah,
they don't get it because, it, you know, for people like us, we need to be clear.
Yeah.
And I can't, I don't, it's no fun not being clear. It's no fun feeling like hungover and you know, also when we have life force, when our body is operating at a high level and we have energy from the health habits, the cracks in our psyche that give way to depression, anxiety, all this shit just isn't there. But when we're tired, when we're drained, when we're, you know, our life force is out the window, when we're doing demonic shit, those cracks open up hard, right? Like the minute you're hungover and you've eaten badly, you're depressed as fuck. You're anxious.
Yeah, anxious and immediate anxiety. Your next day, that's what you're dealing with.
So this is not the life I want to live.
Fucking thoughts are coming back and yeah, starting to operate from them.
You might be probably the only person I met who's like this.
Really?
Yeah, most people just can't do it.
You know, I fully live this way.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, nice to know there's someone else out there. Yeah, yeah.
6 years.
6 years. Oh, shit.
6 years.
I only got about 2 years doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's no other way. And then you'll find, and you're already there, but the clearer and cleaner you are, the more sensitive you are because you're just so aware. So there is no like, oh, I'm just going to eat this tonight because it's fun, or I'm just going to sleep with this person. It's like, really, you really feel it.
No, I can't do it. I'm with you. It's an isolating path, but it has rewards.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. A life of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Where can everyone find you?
Yeah, my podcast is the New Age Sage podcast on YouTube, Spotify, other platforms, and my Instagram is Lucas_Salame, Salame.
I thought it was salami.
I get that a lot. I used to get called that in high school, but I actually mispronunciate it. It's salame, but I think I've Americanized myself. Just say salame. Yeah, but great. You can say salami. It's all good. Salame, salami, salame. Whatever. Okay. Not too attached to it. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you gave it a rating and review. To stay connected with me, you can follow me on Instagram at Kenzie Burke. For all things body forward, my food methods, my movement methods, my meditation methods, my daily practice, the things that I do each and every day to stay connected to my body, to my truth, you can go to bodyforward.com. That is the home to all of my methods. I have a membership that has everything you could need to live the Kenzie Burke lifestyle, to stay devoted to yourself, to stay devoted to transformation. I am so grateful you are here each and every day. I am just in so much gratitude that I get to share this journey with you. So again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful day.